This is how we do it. It's Friday night, and I feel alright. The party's here on the west side, so I reach for my 40 and I turn it up. Designated driver, take the keys to my truck. Hit the shop cause I'm faded. Honey's in the streets, say money, oh we made it. It feels so good in my hood tonight. The summertime skirts and the guys in canine. All the gangbangers forgot about the drive-by. You gotta get your groove on before you go get paid. So tip up your cup and throw your hands up, and let me hear the party say, I'm kinda buzzed and it's all because
this is how we do it.
South Central does it like nobody does.
This is how we do it.
To all my neighbors, you got
me. Alright, well, this is a...
Let's fucking do this, because I'm amped. Fuck you, San Diego.
Welcome to the Geek Out Heroes Trailer Apocalypse.
Dude, it was, right?
This is Vargo.
This is Loach.
So our main episode hasn't dropped yet. That's because I'm having difficulties trying to edit it down.
So this is just in case it doesn't.
So this is kind of just in case it actually doesn't.
Or it will still anyway.
Hopefully we'll have something for you.
It's a little last minute thing because I was in Denver.
So then
all this shit happened.
So, recently we've been catching up with stuff that's been going on at SDCC, and we can't really wait a week to talk about it, because there's so much they're finally releasing, and they're releasing all the trailers, so...
From the panels, too, because normally they have that shit on lockdown.
Yeah.
And they don't, like, next week after San Diego.
Yeah, and we've complained about for years of the fact that just release the fucking trailers, like, it's not the end of the goddamn world...
If you release
the trailers, yeah, and you have tons of people who fucking release them regardless of you know, them wanting to or not. So just fucking release them. You know, the whole thing with going to Comic-Con is to see the panels. In reality, seeing the panels is fucking awesome because when you're there in person, you get to experience it. It's cool to watch them on YouTube, but at the same time, it's not nearly as cool as being there. So they're not going to hurt anybody by not having... It's still going.
Okay.
They're not going to hurt anybody by not having the capability of, you know...
That, and at least we're going to get the high-quality trailer. We're not getting it from someone's phone that's like 30...
My sentence 30... made no sense.
Huh?
Just realized my sentence made no sense.
No, but I see what you're saying, though. It's like, you're not going to get it from someone's phone that's 30 fucking rows back from the screen that has to focus in, which is all pixelated, and you can't really tell what's happening, and it's out of focus and this shit. It's about time that they actually started getting to the point where, okay, look, you're not at the San Diego Comic Con. That sucks. It's hard to get into that.
So yeah, I mean,
we're going to release the trailers, which is where pretty much why a lot of people go to the
panels. I mean, look at DCC. They're releasing the full panels now on YouTube.
Which is great.
In all honesty, that's going to save us time in the future. Like, listeners, we didn't even know they were doing this until recently. So, from now on, we're actually not going to be doing the panels the way we've been doing it.
We'll talk about them.
We'll talk about them, but we don't want to take away from what DCC's been doing. They've been doing some great stuff, and the fact that they're releasing the full panels, fucking spot on.
Also,
that's exactly what they should have been doing.
And it also helps us out a lot, too, because if one of us can't go... it seems like they've been pretty much spot on, like an hour, 2 hours after the panel.
Yeah,
they
drop it. I know Nathan Fillion was on there within a couple of days. So
yeah, so I mean, if we miss it and somebody wants to watch it, one of us can go. We want to watch it. Now we can actually watch it. So it's gonna be good.
You know, and that's not gonna hurt them in numbers. I mean, people are still gonna go to DCC because literally, it's worth being there and experiencing it firsthand.
I've gone every year, and it's the coolest thing about going. Since they first started it was back in 2011.
Yeah.
So right when me and Nicole started dating, actually, that's how I remember it. So it's been about 6 years. And the coolest thing about it is watching the growth of it.
Yeah, watching the growth of it. And not only that, but they're part of a great organization to get kids to read. So that helps out, you know, that helps out tremendously as well. SDCC, they do similar things. So it's not, you know, by posting this stuff, it's not going to hurt their numbers. If anything, it's going to make people want to go.
That's even a great more. Way of bringing it back around, because I was like, we're going totally no, to I DCC.
So with that said, SDCC is finally releasing stuff. So they're finally releasing shit tons of trailers.
Of shit.
And the stuff that they're releasing is things like, you know, the newest trailer for Justice League, Stranger Things 2. They released the fucking trailer for
Bright. Didn't they release Bright?
I believe. Yeah.
Through Netflix. And that's another thing. Netflix is coming out swinging. I don't get it. Like, all of a sudden, well, Netflix is like a premier thing at Comic-Con now. I understand it because
Netflix has made the statement of by 2020, they want to have all original programming. There's an upside and a downside to this. Because
You're going to have to go to other services
for things like Buffy, which you already have to do now.
Angel, Dollhouse,
like any of those things Firefly. Like that. You know, watching old episodes of things. And I'm sure they'll probably keep a few things that are their most popular to rewatch. And they'll probably continue to have services like being able to watch movies off of Netflix. I don't see that going away totally.
Well, that's like HBO Go and HBO Now, you know. Yeah.
But, you know, Netflix wants to get away. They want to get away from physical media. They want to go direct, you know, with,
they want
to
be their
full
own
digital
thing.
streaming, and they want to be their own thing. So the amount of things that they're coming out with is them showing their dedication to, you know what, you've been giving us your money. Your money is worth it. We've been putting it into great projects. Like, look at this, you know, and they'll show Bright. Bright?
The Defenders?
So Anderson originally sent us the trailer for Bright, and he called it Blight, which kind of screwed me up with what it was actually called.
And it messed with me.
But he meant Bright, and it's a new movie with Will Smith.
Which I thought was actually going to be a TV series.
Which I thought was going to be a TV series as well, because you could literally watch that.
I guess
that.
You could say TV series. They're miniseries, yeah, I guess is the best way to put it.
It's a... You could sit there and say, it looks like it could easily be a TV show, or it could easily be a movie. It could go either way. It's a intriguing enough plot that I could see that universe expanding.
Oh, yeah,
maybe
absolutely.
Maybe not, you know, entirely keeping Will Smith on staff, because he's kind of an expensive actor, so I can see why it would be just a movie.
Well, the guy who's playing the other orc. And that's the thing. So if you don't know what Bright is basically this, it's LA. I think it takes place in LA. And what it is that orcs and fairies and goblins and stuff like that are real. And they're still around.
Yeah, so here's the thing I can't figure out. I can't figure out if it's a world where suddenly these things have become real.
Or if it's a world
where it's always been like that, and we've evolved together to have the modern age where there's still, you know, mysticism and magic and stuff like that, but magic is clearly kind of a no-no in this world, because one of the things that is the plot twist for it is somebody finds a wand. And that is like, you know, that's
the
like,
ultimate weapon.
Yeah,
it's like
finding the fucking holy grail for them, because you can actually have it grant almost any wish you want.
And one of the crazy things about it looks like a movie. It looks like what did I say? It was like Training Day meets Lethal Weapon.
Kind
of,
yeah.
And that's what it feels like, because they both hate each other. But there's that comedy aspect about it, because of like they're a different race, they're a different type of. You know, person, they're orcs, and he's a human, and everything like that. And it looks like they constantly are going to have that kind of banter, like in Lethal Weapon.
Yeah.
But it also has a seriousness of what, like Training Day, or what was the one with Jake Gyllenhaal? Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, I know which one you're talking about. I can't think of the name.
Oh, damn it.
I apologize.
But you know what I'm talking about. It's like that. That's what it looks like a lot of. It looks like it's going to have a serious tone, but it also looks like it's going to have a lot of comedy.
Yeah, I mean, Will Smith gets paired off with the first orc police officer. And it's kind of, you know, it's kind of one of those things of like, if you've ever seen, you know, Zootopia, where they have the first bunny cop.
Yeah.
And it's kind of feel of, yeah, it's the, you know, we're creating a specific position to try and fill somebody who is a minority to bring them into the fold. So this has been known to happen in history. I mean, the LA Police Department had a specific... movement created just to try and bring in, you know, black police officers. So it's not, you know, it's not something that's unheard of. So I think it's fine. You know, it's kind of interesting to take this kind of, well, you know, here we have a creature that is from fantasy, and we're doing the same thing with them.
Well, it's like what they did with,
have to play well, into that's what, this
it's
kind
like,
of world.
And that's like what they did with District 9.
Yeah.
The aliens are actually, and I was talking to a friend of mine who was actually from South Africa, in Johannesburg and everything like that. And he even told me, he's all, it's totally how the blacks are treated and represented and are seen in Johannesburg.
Yeah, it's getting you to see.
So, but instead of using black people or any other kind of minority or other race, they used aliens as a representative of that.
Yeah, so, it's getting you to see that, this shit still happens.
But we're going to make it look aliens.
But we're going to make it look like this. So, I was, it's really intriguing. I think the show's going to be, or the movie's going to be really cool. And this definitely see it turn into a TV show.
I could. I think if it does get
a Netflix series.
I think if it gets a lot of steam, like if it gets a lot of good feedback, which Netflix is, I mean, I know they're trying to get their own thing going.
Mm-hmm.
But they make really, really good shit. Like there's some crap that's out there that they make, and but the thing is that they don't admit it. Okay,
they have a lot. They have a lot of variety. Yeah, what you're getting is they have a lot of variety for everyone.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And there's a lot of shows that don't make it, and they admit it. Okay, we tried it, but it didn't work.
Yeah.
But here's the season. It's gonna stay on here anyway. You know, where they're taking a lot. Another thing that they showed off. They showed a clip at San Diego Comic-Con for Death Note. Mm-hmm. Which is coming out soon. That looks incredible, too. That looks absolutely terrifying at some parts. I love the fact that Willem Dafoe is Death. The Death Demon.
The Demon, yeah.
And he looks awesome.
Yeah.
From what they've shown off. So they showed that off. Also, one of the things that kind of surprised us a little bit is from Netflix is Star Trek Discovery. Originally, it was supposed to be on CBS and CBS only.
Well, and that's the thing.
They're all access.
It's supposed to be on their all access. That's their online service. So, and it was only supposed to be on there. So
today, though, when they showed off the trailer during the panel, it said Netflix. So Netflix obviously took it over.
Well, here's the thing.
And I'm curious if it's budget-wise, too. Like, they're going to be able to do more?
I'm wondering if it's more of Netflix partnering with them to say, look, your service isn't as popular, and if you don't...
Oh, that's a lot
if
of money gone.
If you don't partner with somebody, it's not going to be as successful as you'd like it to be. And it needs to be successful. I mean, listeners, it costs $6 to $7 million an episode to make that show. Any Star Trek show has been extremely expensive for CBS to air in the past. I mean, that's, but their shows have always been successful. The thing is, CBS knows that a lot of people don't tune in anymore on fucking cable.
Well,
so
a lot of people don't have cable. They either have, now cable is basically Dish or.
Yeah. There are a lot of people out there, including myself,
When I lived
in Arizona and even today, I don't watch TV. I don't use a satellite dish or anything like that. I get all of my TV through Netflix or Vudu or Amazon.
Hulu.
I get everything through,
HBO
I get everything,
Now.
I get everything through streaming. Which is funny to say, considering I've worked in advertising for so long, cable is kind of dead. And the way that it needs to be treated, it needs to be treated a lot more like the way streaming services.
Well, even Comcast is getting to that point now. Even Comcast and Dish are starting to get to that point. Okay, well, if you want to watch this, get this service to do.
So, CBS recognizing that, and Netflix, I think it's more of Netflix coming to them and saying, look, you need to see the upside to partnering with us, because we have a shit ton of people who you will have access to, and that's millions of views.
And it's Star Trek.
And with that, Netflix can say, however many people watch the show, we'll kick you guys money back, because that's money we didn't have to pay to make this show.
Now,
so
this
it's an upside.
This is obviously we don't know for sure. What
this
the deal
is us just speculating.
This is just something that kind of caught us off guard a little bit, because we were expecting this to be nothing but CBS. This is a CBS show.
Now, it is
CBS
still
be, owns the rights.
It is still going to be on All Access. I checked that out.
But it's just like it caught us off guard when it showed Netflix on the beginning of it.
But it's also going to be showing. It's also going to be showing on Netflix. So every week it airs on Netflix or on CBS at All Access, it will be on Netflix. I would assume either the following day or on the same day.
And that's going to be a first too now. For Netflix. Netflix is actually not going to be releasing the entire series in one shot.
No, they've done it with a few of actually their own original shows.
Really?
And weekly episodes.
Huh. I kind of like them getting the binge watching, because that was like their main thing.
The other service that is trying to keep up with Netflix right now is Amazon. Amazon is really...
Well, they do that with the Grand Tour.
Grand Tour, yeah. Amazon does the same thing with Grand Tour. So I think that, you know, I think Netflix is seeing that and saying, okay, it works out for them. It'll work out with us. This way we're not having to force CBS to give us everything at once, and CBS is feeling comfortable with when they release things.
Right.
So it keeps some control on CBS's end and keeps things manageable for Netflix. So with...
What do you think about the show, though, the way it looks? It was a bit misleading.
It looks good. Don't get me wrong. I'm going to watch it, and I know that there are going to be a shit ton of Star Trek fans out there that are just going to get bag on it for no fucking reason.
So if
other than the fact that it's not Captain Kirk and it's not Spock.
The Enterprise. If you don't know, it takes place 10 years before Kirk, Spock, and the Enterprise. So a lot of people are going to be pissed because obviously the show looks very new. Mm-hmm. But also the ships look a little bit more advanced.
So here's the thing.
It seems a little bit... in the suits
it's
and
definitely,
the armor.
It's definitely taking place 10 years before them. It's taking place... It also definitely looks like it's taking place 10 years before the current movies, mm-hmm. not the originals. It looks like it's making sure that they're sticking with the new timeline, not the old one. So... Hopefully listeners, a lot of the fans out there are going to realize that, because I know that there's going to be a shit ton of them going, this is garbage.
The funny thing is I actually didn't even think of it like that, whereas if you base it off the movies, then yeah, the way the ships look, the way the uniforms and everything look, that I could see.
Yeah.
Compared to the original series and the original movies... it would look too much futuristic.
Yeah. And from what they're showing, they're saying that it's some of it takes place on the edge of frontier space. That means that it's going into it's part of like the whole expedition that took place before Kirk and Spock went into uncharted space, because the original series was they were going into uncharted space for a 5-year mission. In the new timeline, because of the events that took place that killed Kirk's father, that subsequently forced everything to go ahead much faster than it was planned. So they actually send out ships much earlier into uncharted territories of space.
It wasn't his father.
And Kirk's father? Yeah, it was.
No, I thought it was the general, the one that recruited him in the movies.
That wasn't the general's father. That was Kirk's father that died.
In the movies?
Yes.
The new movies?
Yes. At the very beginning.
I'm confused. Hold on.
Because at the very beginning when Chris Hemsworth...
Oh, right, right. Okay, yes. That's the part I forgot about. Okay, yeah.
The very beginning.
No, okay. Yeah. I don't remember his father. Okay. Oh, yeah, no. Right. When he was born.
Yeah, not Pike.
Right, okay, I was thinking Pike. I was like, Pike's not his dad, dude.
No, it's supposed to be the events that took place because of that.
Hmm.
So, you know, roughly Kirk would probably be, I think he's...
driving a Corvette off the ledge, the cliff.
Well, you know, at the time of this, that's quite possible because, you know, he's in his 20s by the time he becomes captain.
So. Right, and Starfleet was advanced by then, and they were still building and everything. Yeah, so I can definitely see. And it's called Discovery, and that's the name of the ship.
Yep.
And that just seems like it's a little bit more. I'm curious if this is one of the first ships that were built on land. Is this the one that was built in space or on Earth?
As far as I know, the shipyards were always on Earth until much later.
I don't follow Star Trek as much.
That's the thing is like in so. We're going off of several different timelines. The new timeline that we have, the shipyards are actually on Earth. That's what where Kirk, you know, when he shows up to take the shuttle,
right.
The Enterprise is being built at that time.
Right.
And then they create the new spaceports.
Oh, right.
By the time he's in this the second film. With that said, I think it's going to be interesting. It'll be interesting to see where it goes. There is one misleading thing that Loach had brought up, and I didn't see it from the first trailer, but there's an extended one. That kind of feels like
that's
two trailers stuck together.
Yeah, and that's the one that came from Comic-Con, which is really weird, too.
Yeah, it's kind of odd, because they have this moment where the main character, she's talking to a Vulcan, and it's kind of looks like she's remembering something that was said to her when she was a child. And the Vulcan's telling her that she'll never understand how to speak Vulcan, because her tongue is too human. So that leads us to believe that she's part Vulcan, which means that they forgot her ears, because as you know from Spock, half human, half Vulcan, the Vulcan side's the genes in the Vulcan is very dominant, so you end up with more of their features. Unless it's a possibility that she was adopted, which may be the case. It may be a case of a human who was raised by Vulcan.
No, it's really misleading. That part in that trailer is super misleading. Yeah. Is she Vulcan? Is she not? And also, it's the way they also, in the trailer, so the first part of the trailer, she's acting very human. She has emotion. She doesn't know how to control it. I mean, she's acting human.
Yeah.
But after that one part of her talking to somebody who is Vulcan, whether it be her father or not, and then they say her demeanor and everything from the rest of the trailer
becomes more logical.
Switches.
Yeah.
So we're not sure where it's going. Are they going to have a split timeline? That could very possibly happen. It's very misleading. So, but it looks really good.
Yeah, it looks interesting. I'm
waiting to hear what my dad's a diehard Star Trek fan.
Yeah.
I'm okay with them. I like them. They're all right. I like the newer stuff a lot. I don't love them. I'm Star Wars. Sorry, I stake my territory. Fuck that shit. But yeah, no, it does look really interesting.
I will point out that this is actually proof. This is proof that
Star Wars can get its own series.
That Star Wars can get its own series. It is a massive universe, and it drives me nuts.
I would not be surprised if Disney and Netflix work.
It drives me nuts that Star Wars won't take that route. I mean, Star Trek can get away with anything,
and
Star Wars could literally do the same thing. All they have to do for a Star Wars series is don't involve the main crew, don't involve the main cast,
and we know
just have it take place in that universe.
And we know there's been Star Wars series, the Clone Wars, but we're talking
live action. Yeah, we've had the Clone Wars,
Star Wars,
fantastic.
Rebels.
Star Wars Rebels. I still haven't caught up on, or still haven't really watched Star Wars Rebels.
They just
I've heard it's really good.
They got a nomination for
Emmy?
Or an Emmy?
Oscars are
film. Oh, that's right. So Emmy. Yeah, they got an Emmy nod. So, I mean, they can do it. They got the way. Disney can pull it off. Now make a real, like a real life one.
Yeah.
A live action. And send it on to Netflix. I mean, if Netflix is going to work with you, it must suck to make Disney money. I mean,
honestly, I'm telling you, we went to DCC and we saw Nathan Fillion. I mean, I think that guy needs work, and he needs to be in the Star Wars universe. He needs to be in the Star Wars universe. That's all I'm saying.
I'm totally tagging him in this on Twitter. We're helping you out, man. We know you need work.
Our endorsement.
That's our endorsement. Like, it means anything.
I mean,
I can see him being a captain in Star Trek.
Yeah, his ability to act is phenomenal. I mean,
it's mind blowing.
It floors me every time. But and I understand he came off a long stint from
freaking
Castle, and that show did go a little too long. He could easily fit into the Star Wars universe. He could easily fit into the Star Trek universe. I would love to see them come out with a live action Star Wars show series with him as either a captain or a shit. I could see him as a smuggler easily.
Absolutely.
Anything.
Someone like Han. Yeah, like a new Han.
Yeah, anything like that. A bounty hunter, something. I mean, shit. I still think a great series for Star Wars could be a series about involving the Empire and showing
doing in Battlefront 2, the campaigns from the Empire's perspective.
Showing the Empire's perspective, showing like somebody who like they start, you know, maybe they start noticing some of the shit that's going on. They're like, this actually doesn't seem like it's the good. Like, we're the good guys,
right?
You know, it's that whole joke of a joke. Hey, do you ever think we're the bad guys? Nah, let's get back to the desktop ship. it's a universe that could actually be bigger than what's been allowed to.
Yeah, and have Joss Whedon direct it and it's fucking gold.
So if anything,
put it on Fox.
Yeah, if anything, this Star Trek is proof that you can do the same thing with Star Wars. It just
I am curious.
You just have to be willing to allow people to
right.
To do it.
And I am curious if it's going to be if they're going to acknowledge it in maybe a later, the next Star Trek movie, if this does, if this is canon.
Anything that's done, anything that's done within the CB or within with CBS,
it's canon. Paramount,
it's canon.
Okay, well that's good.
They've already mentioned, you know, they've mentioned stuff in the new, in the, even the newest Star Trek mentioned thing or mentioned things that took place in Enterprise.
So, oh, that's true.
In the most recent Star Trek. So, yeah, I mean,
it looks good.
It's
got definitely got good potential. So, hopefully it sticks with it. And it looks like the graphics aren't going to be like, you know how you can see the difference between TV graphics and movies and the budget? It looks like the budget is
definitely pretty decent. I mean, Star Trek's always had a, like ever since Next Generation, CBS has been kind of a little more like, yeah, we'll give you more money because you seem to be doing well.
Right.
That kind of thing. So,
so more really out of Comic-Con. Defenders. Sigourney Weaver's in it! They're going to fuck with Ripley!
Sigourney Weaver's in it.
And she's the villain.
Really looking forward to seeing that. I want to see it more just because I want to see more Jessica Jones.
And I'm still shocked that they never got her a second season.
I know.
And Daredevil's got two. Luke Cage has got one. Iron Fist has got one. I'm hoping after the Defenders. Now, I know a lot of people are curious, does the Defenders coincide with the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
Yeah, they've already said
they
that.
Do. Are they going to be in the new movies? There is a rumor that they might make an appearance. There is a rumor going around. Someone talked to Kevin
on a TV screen in the background.
That's what I think. Kevin Feige said that everything's connected. Everything's going to be working, coexisting, I guess is the best way to put it. But somebody, I guess, during a Comic-Con, not a Comic-Con, I don't remember where it was. But here's
the
upside.
If the Defenders fail to go against Ripley, the Avengers will be there. And Spider-Man. And everyone else that's in New York. Because the Marvel Universe in New York is stupidly large.
Yeah. I'm also hoping...
It's like New York is almost the only city.
I'm hoping they bring back Kingpin also.
Yeah.
In the Defenders. Kingpin, honestly, I thought, I forgot who played him. Whoever did a phenomenal job as Kingpin. I mean, he was
a great actor.
Spot on. It was insane what he did with him. But yeah, Defenders looks good. Another thing I like about the Defenders, and I know it's just kind of stupid, but I love how they're using Nirvana as the theme for the trailer, like the music. It's kind of nice to hear good music in a trailer. Like, it's kind of far and few in between nowadays. But no, it looks really fun. I'm curious about it. I know Iron Fist kind of hit a really low point for a lot of fans.
It just wasn't good.
I heard they got martial arts is great. I never got to see it. I kind of was deterred from watching it.
Okay, I gotta be honest. The choreography for that show sucked.
Really?
It was awful.
See, I heard different. I heard it was okay.
It was so bad.
All right, I'll have to check it
not
out.
Not only that, only one fist is the Iron Fist. The Iron Fist, both of his fists can glow. Like,
and I'm
I don't know where they forgot about this, or
somebody at Marvel
didn't tell them.
Yeah, they forgot.
Like, hey guys, both fists glow, assholes.
But yeah, there was a trailer for the Defenders. Sigourney Weaver is the bad guy. She's the main villain. She brings an Elektra. So that's going to be an interesting dynamic. I think it's going to be a good series. Hopefully it kind of brings back. Also, another thing that they revealed is that the Punisher will be in it. They show that off at San Diego Comic-Con.
Will he be allowed to punish people, or will Daredevil be a whiny little bitch again? And oh no, you can't kill people.
Oh no, he better go in there just fucking blowing dudes up. But yes, the Punisher is going to be in the series also. So that was another big reveal. Movies though, I think that was it for TV shows. Basically,
nope. Netflix. Last one that we got to bring it for TV shows. They had a new release for a new trailer for Stranger Things.
It's so hard to consider that a show. It is.
That trailer is fucking awesome.
You know me.
I'm down with one trailer and I'm good to go.
So
the teaser was enough for me to want to watch that show.
Yeah.
The teaser from the Super Bowl meant enough for me to want to watch the show. They could have shown me nothing and I'd still want to watch it. But that trailer is so well done and it has the best fucking music.
I talked you into this.
Loach, like, okay, so here's the difference. Loach bugs me about something, and I do it within, like, an hour. I bug Loach for something, and he does it 10 years later. So there's kind of an unbalanced situation here. But it's fine.
You're my heterosexual life partner. I need you to watch this.
Stranger Things 2 looks fucking amazing, and If you haven't watched the trailer, go watch it. Literally, stop what you're doing. Like, if you're breastfeeding or you're driving, pull the car over to the side. That can be late. It's all right.
If you're taking your kids to soccer practice, if you're going to work. Anyway, you need to watch the trailer.
If you're pulled over currently. Watch. And there's a cop behind you. Just take a second. Watch the trailer.
Let him watch it with
you. When he comes up to the window, he'll ask you to rewind. You might get out of a ticket because, hey, man, you're holding the screen for him.
I was going to actually save this for last. But I forgot it's still part of the TV shows. It is so good.
It looks so good.
I actually literally drove over here just to do... Because I was in Denver today, all day, and I'm going to be there all day tomorrow. But everything decided to fucking drop today. For some reason, everything came out today. So when I got back from Denver, I immediately, you know, got online on YouTube, mm-hmm. looked at all the trailers that we are talking about today. And the moment I saw the Stranger Things trailer, I asked the guys if they'd seen it. Nobody saw it yet. And Vargo said, no, I won't watch it. I've seen the teaser. The teaser is literally what a teaser is. It's 30 seconds of... It was more of a preview, like a slideshow to me. It really didn't show anything off. It was just snippets. And that's cool. That's a good teaser. This is the official trailer. So it's basically a movie trailer. And I watched it, and I got goosebumps. And I immediately got in the car, drove over here, and made Mike watch it. Like, I was like, you have to watch this.
He's like, hey, you want to hang out? I'm like, yeah, I'm doing laundry. Like, okay.
It's that good. So the trailer for season 2, it's about 2 minutes long. Yeah. Maybe a little bit longer, 2:30. And it's basically telling you, and it still didn't really give anything away, actually. It's just showing season 2. Yeah. And it's not like how the teaser was cut. In any way, the Super Bowl teaser. It's basically a story arc trailer. It seems like it's going to be more focused on Will, the one who was in the Upside Down, who won and got lost.
Mm-hmm.
It also seems like the way the town is going to be affected by this also, which is really cool. So the way this trailer starts out, the kids are in an arcade. They're playing.
I tell you, if people go through this and they don't move, there's no. There's something wrong with
you. It's a Super 8 moment. the trailer starts off with the boys and are in an arcade. Will starts getting distracted, and then immediately he's in the Upside Down.
Yep.
So it's definitely showing that, and we kind of knew this was going to happen at the end of season 1, mm-hmm. where he was still connected to the Upside Down somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, there's a greater threat. You'll see it in the teaser also is this tentacle octopus looking monster, which I'm kind of curious about what that is all about. And it's just phenomenal. The best part about the whole trailer. Yes. 80s nostalgia out the ass.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking the moment the kids are in the arcade, they start playing Dragon's Lair.
Yeah.
And that was awesome to see that. I haven't played that game since I was a kid. And you know, just the reference of once things have changed, they're never going to go back to the way they used to be. And then they start playing the opening intro, which seems remixed. I could be wrong.
It seems more like just it's an extension of the...
So the song is Thriller by Michael Jackson. And yeah. It's got, I'm sorry.
Vincent Price.
Vincent Price. His monologue. And it is incredible. The way they shot the trailer, yeah. The way they cut it, the way it's edited, all of it. I wish it was October. I'm so bummed that, you know, we gotta wait till October. But this is gonna be, honestly, if they don't get any Emmy nods, there's something wrong. This show should be winning awards, hands down.
The first one did.
I think it won one. I think, I'm saying something more in Easter.
Quite a lot.
But did it?
Yeah.
I don't remember. I don't believe him. No, it's kidding.
You're making that up.
But no, what do you think? I was floored.
I was blown away. I'm totally down. Just show me the show.
Yeah, I'm ready for it.
Stop teasing me.
We're curious on how the show's gonna go. The brothers who made the show
mm-hmm.
said it's definitely gonna be scarier. It's gonna have a little bit more of a horror aspect to it. It does feel like a Goonies more.
Yeah, I'm thinking about sitting my dad down and making him watch it. My mom won't watch that show.
Really?
Never.
My brother's watching it finally.
My mom won't watch it. My mom
I told Frankie to watch it. I was like, I asked Frankie if he watched it. He's like, no. I was like, dude, before you watch anything else on Netflix, you have to watch this.
My mom doesn't even like watching my dad play Gears of War.
Well, that's like Nicole can't watch Supernatural. She can't do it.
It's scary!
But, no, this show is going to be up. Oh, I can't wait. It ruined
Yeah, it's going to be great. But next up is two trailers dropped for movies. And we're going to talk about... we'll talk about the best one last.
The one that's going to take
Don't get me wrong. Justice League. It looks better. It still looks better. Like, I'm still like, all right, sweet. I am now at the point where I have seen an extended trailer. I don't want to see anything else. I want to see the movie. Just leave it alone.
Yeah.
Give me the fucking film. Aquaman looks fucking cool. They made Aquaman look cool.
So, yes.
Looks cool like they made Aquaman look cool in Injustice.
Yeah.
You know? They made him badass. The way that basically the New 52 turned Aquaman into, that's kind of how he is in this one. He's a badass. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I respect the people who've always liked Aquaman, but dude, he was a pussy before New 52. Well,
he couldn't fly. He couldn't go to the parties.
Couldn't do shit anything.
Yeah, couldn't go to the parties or anything. Couldn't go to the
parties or nothing. Couldn't even make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Yeah, that's a great reference.
So, it looks cool. I'm not crazy about the Flash, like the way that they're showing, like the way that they show him run doesn't look normal, and the way that they show like the lightning is white, which is completely wrong. I realize it's a different universe, but there's little things that you can do to kind of make it more closely related to everything else you've done. Also, the humor that they've used with him is not very Barry Allen. It's more Wally West. So I don't know why they, like, where the confusion is on what the character should be like. But, I don't know. He's the only one out of the group that I'm just kind of like, he's just okay.
Yeah. The villain was basically shown off finally today, and that's Steppenwolf.
Yep.
He's going to be the main baddie in this one, which is obviously going to leave... go toward Darkseid. Yeah. Sorry. It's
spelled really weird. I understand the reason why.
People it's going to Darkseid, obviously. That's pretty much the only way they can go. I'm still on the fence about it. The only reason I'm probably will go see it, I do like Zack Snyder's work. I love 300 and Sucker Punch. Those are some of my favorite.
Joss Whedon had to step in and finish this.
Joss Whedon finished it. So I'm curious about like what tweaks he made, because they did ask if he was going to make any tweaks. He said no, but he was going to put his own little...
There's a little thing.
There's a little touch in it. So I'm kind of curious about that. It does... I am a little bit more interested in the dynamic of everybody.
Yeah.
They do bring up the lanterns, which is actually kind of a cool thing. I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, Steppenwolf is making a speech, and he talks about the fact of...
The
world is...
not protected.
Not protected. There are no lanterns.
And no
Kryptonians. There are no Kryptonians. So, and he does say Kryptonians. So he is...
Does he?
I thought
he said Kryptonian.
I thought it was Kryptonians, but you may be right. I thought it said Kryptonians, which leaves me the hope that he's aware that Supergirl does exist somewhere.
Right.
I would love to see her, get her own movie. That'd be great.
Right.
The action looks really cool. I mean, you know, definitely looks like the, you know, Gal Gadot's, you know, she's fucking Wonder Woman. You've heard this before. After watching the movie Wonder Woman, I take back anything I said about her not looking like Wonder Woman. At this point, she's the only Wonder Woman. Like, that is it.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later.
Who would you say?
No, as in the newer movies? Absolutely, yeah. No, she is. I'm still a fan of the original.
Even as a kid, I always felt like she was, like, her... They always played her kind of hokey.
It's not that... It's
like,
not,
she wasn't very serious. Like, it wasn't serious.
I know, but... that's just the way she looked. Yeah.
She had a great look down.
That hit it for me.
trust me, dude. Go. You haven't. You
no,
haven't
I haven't seen it.
You
yet.
You haven't seen Wonder Woman.
But
if when you watch that, you will literally sit there and go, "Holy shit!"
Oh no, I'm totally buying into what everybody's saying that she is definitely the new Wonder Woman. She nailed the part.
I think Ben Affleck looked. You know, he looks like he's still holding the Batman torch. So.
And that's a funny thing that actually you brought that up. There's a rumor going around SDCC. Ben Affleck said he will not be playing Batman anymore. Because it's going to be taking too long by the time they actually make the solo movie.
Yeah.
He'll be in his 50s. So
I'm okay with that.
I know you're okay. I'm okay with it. He's not, unfortunately. He feels like he'll be too old for the role.
Oh, fuck that.
come we'll
on,
see.
Ben. You can do it.
Here's the thing, though.
I believe in you.
Here's the thing, though. It's a rumor.
Yeah.
They have asked Warner Brothers in DC if this is true. They are not commenting, or they have denied it. So nobody knows if this is true. That
here's an idea, Warner Brothers. You film all of your movies simultaneously and just release them
exactly.
over a few years.
So I'm curious on...
It'll cost you a shit ton of money, but it'll cost you a lot less in the future.
But one of the coolest parts in the trailer does look cool. It definitely looks a little bit more what I'm kind of expecting, I think, out of a Zack Snyder movie.
Mm-hmm.
Is the ending. There is a secret ending to the trailer.
Never really seen it.
I don't know if it's a secret. I don't know what you would call it. It's a trailer after the... It's a little secret thing after the main title is shown.
Yeah.
And he goes, there were... I knew we were supposed to be seeing you, or we were expecting to see you.
Hopefully it's not too late or whatever.
Yeah, something like that. But they don't show who Alfred is talking to. There's speculation already on the internet. It's either the Green Lantern or it's Supes. My money's on Supes.
Yep.
It's pretty much evident, I feel.
If you look at the trailer, you can see like just a little bit of red coming off the corner of the screen.
We could be wrong. We could be way off. It could just be a light. But I'm hoping it's the Green Lantern. I'm really hoping because the comment that he makes, there's no lanterns, there's no Kryptonians.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that the Lantern Corps gets wind of what's going on. They send Green Lantern.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be Hal Jordan.
We already know
Stewart.
It's not going to be Hal Jordan. It's going to be John Stewart. So.
So it's just I'm curious if that's going to be shown off in the movie. So yeah, there's a lot of other trailers. I mean, there was a lot shown off apparently the past couple days, Friday and Thursday. I can't even give you a really quick rundown on them. Honestly, there's just so much. But the biggest one. The biggest one, and the one that actually caught a lot of people by surprise, and no one thought they were going to show it off because everything was being still told, we're still in production, we don't have anything, but it's still making the movie, was finally there is a trailer for Ready Player One.
Mm-hmm.
And we were all floored.
Yeah.
It was about as good. So TV's biggest trailer, Stranger Things 2. Movies? The only thing that would have topped that, maybe Star Wars, and I don't even think Star Wars could have topped that. Ready Player One looks phenomenal. This could be, like, the next big, big blockbuster. I could see this movie could beat records.
This could literally be, if it's done well and done right, this could literally be Spielberg's crescendo. Like, this could be it. Like, this is the glass
fucking ceiling. Do you think
this
could be the first movie within the first, maybe, month? Maybe 2 months? Kid finally hit break the $1 billion.
Oh, break the Avatar mark?
Yeah. Do you think it'll nail that mark? It'll beat that mark?
Probably.
Yeah. I got a really good feeling.
Here's the thing, to me,
if they advertise it right, saying that this is a... And they, so far they are. The pulp culture idea of... This is a... what is it? His pulp culture... like what you said, crescendo.
Yeah.
His homage to pulp culture in the 80s and 90s. This movie is gonna... If they do this right,
I mean,
like
Spielberg
you said,
is referenced in the book,
which is amazing that he's directing the movie.
So,
so yes, Ready Player One was dropped. Holy shit!
And not only that, the really cool thing is Zach Penn and
Ernest.
Fuck,
we're horrible today.
Look it up. We'll redo it. I can edit.
We are totally fucking names up today. What is wrong with us? Holy shit. We're going to have to do another trailer real quick. I don't know if you're going to want to watch it, though. That's the problem. Thor Ragnarok just dropped a new trailer.
Don't need to see it.
I know.
I already want that movie to come out.
Shit, I didn't mean to actually hit the actual trailer. Sorry. Why am I such a... Ernest Cline.
Ernest Cline.
So yeah, Zach Penn so, and Ernest Cline are doing the screenplay. They wrote the screenplay, and that's not a surprise. If you were going to do the
Ernest
movie
Cline
without
the
Ernest,
the book.
Yeah, if you were going to do the movie without Ernest Cline, then you are already set up for failure.
Yeah.
Everything they have shown in the trailer is exactly how I pictured it in my fucking head.
Yeah, the only thing that makes me concerned is I don't want Spielberg to go Hollywood on himself.
I don't think he will, because I think it would be more...
And pull the same bullshit that happened with, you know, with The Lost World, with Jurassic Park. Jurassic Park The Lost World was great, and then they went to San Diego and ruined the movie.
Oh, you're talking about... I know which one you're... Yeah.
Like,
you're talking about Jurassic Park 2.
2, yeah. I mean, literally Spielberg does a great job of sticking pretty closely to the book. I mean, staying close to the cuff, making a great film, making a great Jurassic Park sequel, and then it fails epically at the end. And that's the reason why so many were like, that wasn't very good. The ending is so bad. So, when I think about that, a movie that had a roadmap, was given a book, you know, had something to follow, it makes me just a little concerned for Ready Player One. The only thing that completely says, you know, relax, don't worry about it, is because Ernest Cline is attached to,
and
Zach Penn are attached to that screenplay. So I'm like, okay, I am going to assume that Spielberg is going to... Because Spielberg is...
Well, they've shown production shots.
Here's the thing.
He's walking around with a book.
The great thing about Spielberg is that he is very willing to give up creative control to his writers. That's partly the reason why... That's the reason why The Last Indiana Jones went the way it did. He literally said... He asked... He asked Lucas multiple times, are you sure you want to do this and bring in aliens? He asked him multiple times. It was kind of like his hint of, don't do it. But he asked
you
him multiple times.
Us.
And George,
they fucked Indy.
George insisted on it. Yeah, and George insisted on it. And Spielberg said, okay, I will do whatever you ask because you are my friend and I trust you creatively. So he's a great director in the fact that he will give up some creative control to say, I will create whatever you want to the best of my ability. And, you know, sometimes that works extremely well for him. Sometimes it doesn't work out that well. But I'm really hoping that he sees this and goes, you know what? I am starting to understand the culture that has surrounded me since my days with Jaws and E.T. and all those.
Well, you got
Jaws,
Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Yeah, the amount of people who
the man
who's
made
constantly
so many,
reference him.
The man
who
made such cinematic classics. Because,
you know, I can be honest. I can say that, you know, Spielberg has made some pretty dumb statements about gamers for a long time. He has made some really bad assumptions about us. He's made some really bad comments about, you know, basically geeks in general. Forgetting that he actually was one of us, you know, before he became a big director. So when he turned around and makes something like this, I'm hoping he's making it with the knowledge and respect of, I know who my audience is, I know what this is going for, and I want to make it to the best of my ability. And I could definitely see him saying, you know what, I'm going to make this to the best of my ability. So If that's the case, this could easily be the glass ceiling, and Spielberg, you might want to just retire after this. Because if you can pull it off, you will have made one of the greatest movies in a long time. I mean, like,
I think
this could easily rival. Like, I was thinking, this could easily rival The Matrix,
Star Wars, the first Episode 4. Like, it's going to be one of the movies that sets that bar.
Yeah, just the and what we're saying, listeners, is not that it's going to be better than those, but just the fact that it's going to be of that caliber of, it's going to blow people's fucking mind. And it's just going to completely change, like, holy shit. Like, how the fuck did this happen?
So, we're going to talk about the trailer. We're not going to divulge any spoilers from the book.
Yes.
Just because I'm still finishing the book. I'm actually on chapter 21. And it's just not fair to everybody who has not read it. If you have not heard of this, read the book first. The book is... And from what we've seen from the trailer, the book is pretty well represented. Yep. Normally, a lot of movies, and you know as well as we do, when a book goes to a movie, it doesn't show the book as well. One of my biggest complaints with that was The Relic. I love The Relic movie. The book was 100 times better.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the movie and the way they did the movie, and at the time, you can only do so much with a movie from a book, but from what I have seen with the trailer, and from what me and Vargo have talked about, so far, this is nailing it. And I mean... every point. So we're, like I said, we're not going to talk about spoilers. We might bring a couple things up that when you do read the book or you do listen to the audiobook, it'll be something to definitely kind of, okay, point out. And this is why we're having a hard time of one of our biggest questions about the movie is how much of rights is Warner Brothers going to be able to get and Spielberg is going to be getting for the movie. In the book, there's so many pulp culture references, and we're talking from music, movies.
Listeners, if you grew up in the 80s,
and think or about even the early 90s,
think about everything that you've seen.
It's mostly the 80s.
Everything.
Yeah, everything you've seen, heard, felt, touched, all of it.
From at least from
eight.
From about 1979.
You know, I wouldn't
even
know.
A little earlier.
77.
Well, I was saying even a little even a little earlier, all the way through to now.
Yeah, basically,
that's pretty much in the book.
So, we're going to be talking about some pop culture references. A lot of them. Keep in mind, these are actually in the book. We're not going to, like I said, we won't do any spoilers from the book. Definitely go read it, and you'll kind of understand where we're going with the movie.
So just to say general, the look and feel of the trailer
is spot on.
Especially
when they show the stacks.
When they show the stacks, that is exactly how I picture them from the book. So fucking hats off for that.
I didn't even think they were gonna pull that off. Honestly.
The look and feel of like the worlds that they go to
even,
in the simulation.
Even to his makeshift virtual reality setup. How he always said, I had to piece it in and build my own. It looks like he did.
Yeah, it looks like he put it together.
Right.
I mean, it's really cool. The way these systems work are kind of like how... imagine like if somebody came out with a console and then they said, okay, from here on, you can make systems that are more powerful that will run this exact same simulation
for everyone.
So, you know, imagine if somebody said, here's an Xbox One. Okay. And this is kind of what Microsoft has already done right now with the Xbox One and the PC, and how you can play exclusive from the Xbox One on your PC. From there, they go, here's the Xbox One. This is the basic unit. If you want to build your own that runs everything even better, go for it.
Yep.
That's kind of like what the system's all about. So, the main character ended up having to piece his own together, so it looks like that in the trailer. The other things is
some of the pop culture references.
Some of the pop culture references that are in there is, you know, Back to the Future, Iron Giant,
Akira.
They got the motorcycle. they have the A-Team van. They
Christine.
Had Christine from fucking Stephen King.
I'm curious how they got that one. I am really curious how they got the car.
Wouldn't surprise me if all they did was ask.
Can you talk to him real quick?
it's Spielberg. I mean, like, it would not surprise me if somebody literally called up and said, Spielberg's on the phone, he wants to know if he can put this in the movie, and they just said, fuck yeah. Because, I mean, it's Spielberg. What are you going to say no?
I would totally be...
To Spielberg?
I would totally be like, you could just take everything. If I created
take
something.
Take it all. Do you want my firstborn?
Yes, you can have it all.
Yeah, I mean...
Freddy Krueger was in it?
Freddy Krueger's in it. They have tons and tons of stuff in it. And all of it feels and looks like it is from this book. There are several things that aren't shown in the trailer that
well, this is a teaser.
Keep in mind, it's just a trailer, so it's not going to show everything.
So technically,
but there are tons of stuff in the book that, and I don't want to give it away, listeners, but there are tons of stuff in the book that are referenced
that we don't know if they're
gonna going to be able to pull off, because there's a lot of stuff that
we're talking music rights, we're talking movie rights, TV shows, everything. Stupid. It's retarded how it's so much to put in when you're either listening to the audiobook or reading it. There is so much to take away from this.
I mean, from DC, it's from DC Comic Book Heroes to Marvel. So, I mean,
we're talking Star Wars, you're talking about Trek.
That's like asking Warner Brothers and Disney to make a movie together. What? Like, it's really hard to imagine.
The only reason wouldn't have worried so much
bring up the fact that, you know, this is the one thing that Steve told me when we were originally talking about it. And we both have our doubts, but if there is any director on the planet that could pull this off and get that many things to cooperate and work with one another, it's Spielberg. I mean, the guy is a household name. So when you think about directors, like the pinnacle of directors,
he's an icon.
And, you know, it's him, James Cameron. You know, he sits on a fucking pedestal. Even when he makes bad movies,
they're still good.
His version of bad movies
are good.
They're still watchable.
I mean,
you see other directors, and you're like, when they make a bad movie, it's fucking awful.
So, to give you an idea, to me, and what shows the sign of a truly amazing director is Spielberg is going from a movie like Jaws, Close Encounters of the Third Kind,
E.T.
Okay, those were his like three main. Then all of a sudden, he goes and makes Schindler's List, Saving Private Ryan,
Jurassic Park.
We're talking, that is such a range. It is unreal. The only other director that this is
the director that started out with a comedy, by the way. Goldie Hawn and Chevy Chase.
Yep.
Just want to point that out.
The only other director that I feel that could have pulled this off, and it wouldn't be as good, I don't think, but the only one that would have that kind of range is Christopher Nolan. Going from The Dark Knight and now making Dunkirk and stuff like that. So
I think Nolan's style would not work.
I don't think it will work, but I'm saying just movie, like his films and the way he makes his films, they're very different. But also going from like a sci-fi to like a comic book to like a historical movie,
which is Dunkirk. The thing with Christopher Nolan, everything is dark. Everything with him is dark material, and it's not like he doesn't have a range of, I deal with serious, I deal with comedy, I deal with this.
Where Spielberg does. No, I'm just saying Christopher Nolan, I feel, if he would start going toward doing comedies and stuff like that, I feel that he could be going to that direction.
No, James Cameron. James Cameron has a huge span of the kind of films he can make.
James Cameron. I don't think there's many others on that list.
Titanic, The Abyss, Aliens, Terminator. I mean, the guy
Ridley Scott could maybe do it, but that'd be pushing it. I think that's your third choice, honestly, on the list. So, anyone below that, I don't think, would make this movie. The fact that they nail Spielberg, and he's referenced in the book multiple times, is fucking hysterical to me, for one. He's going to be, and I'm curious what he's going to do, if he might do something, when they do reference him in the movie while he's directing it. I think it'd be kind of like a little funny thing. But no, so far from what I've seen in the trailer, they show the DeLorean from Back to the Future, which, so when I was in Denver and the guy sent me the trailer, and Varga was like, you gotta watch this. I started watching the trailer.
For those of you who are curious on why they would actually be able to get Back to the Future, and we're not surprised by that, Spielberg was a producer for that.
Right. So when the guys told me to watch it, I was in Denver actually for my son's tryout up there for ODP, and we were on the side of the field, far in the fight, and I was in the car. And the moment when they showed the DeLorean doing a drift to avoid a wrecking ball with all these cars, and they show the DeLorean flying, doing his hover mode, and then dropping down on the wheels and doing a drift, I literally screamed like a little girl. I was losing my shit. It was freaking awesome. It's been a while since I've seen a trailer to where I'm like, holy shit. I mean, I was like that with the new Star Wars, The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
But this, honestly, beats that. So, people who know me, that's saying something.
Yeah.
Our concerns, though. I do like the fact that they showed the Iron Giant. I thought that was amazing. I hope Vin Diesel does come back and does the voice. I really do, because honestly, they would have to take snippets from the movie, from the original Iron Giant to do it. You can't have anybody else's voice doing that. Another thing that we kind of saw, we're curious about one of the avatars that was next to him and the Iron Giant. We believe it's the girl. I forgot her name, her character's name. It's her avatar.
Yeah.
Or it could be one of the brother and sister, or the two brothers. Yeah. Or his best friend. We don't know. Friend. I think his best friend, though, was another guy, and she was the only girl. But you can't tell, so it's kind of, One of our biggest concerns, though, is a reference that's in the book that involves war games. And it's really freaking Steve and Vargo out. I haven't hit that part of the book. I've hit some of it when they talk about the war games. Actually, I'm pretty sure I hit that part.
There's a lot of stuff that takes place. So, like, as things ramp up in the book, towards the end, there are a lot of things that happen that are just like, God damn, like, are you guys going to be able to do this?
And the funny thing is when I was listening to it.
So, one of them has to do with war games. The other one has to do with a massive battle that takes place in the book.
There was also,
they showed parts of.
That's true.
But the thing is
they showed Freddy Krueger. That's the only, and
listeners,
and
when I say a massive battle, think of everything. Everything that you can think of from the time you were a child.
It's like
being there. It's fucking Care Bears. Yeah. Okay. Like, fucking everything.
Fucking Care Bears.
So like when I like that's the thing that like Steve and I are like, God damn, how are they gonna how can they get that much fucking rights? Like the credits for special thanks is gonna be longer than the actual credits for the film. Listeners, you're gonna have to get like even if the movie's like by compared to the book is just okay, you're probably gonna go see the movie about 5 or 6 times just to see everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's going to be a moment where you're just going to be like, all right, my brain is going to have to shut off.
If you watch the trailer...
Because I can't see everything.
So if when you watch the trailer, you're going to watch it at least 6 times. Yeah. Just to try to catch everything. And there's a lot in that trailer. We paused it during the setup part of the racing scene. Christine was in there from Stephen King.
Yeah.
The A-Team van was in there all of a sudden. I'm sure there was more that we didn't even get to see. Akira's bike... The DeLorean from Back to the Future, and we stopped on the Akira's bike. We weren't sure if this is because they do reference in the book Tron, and they reference the light cycles. The problem is we don't know if they're going to get the rights from Disney. I doubt it. It is Disney we're talking about here, but if you know, we thought they were doing their own makeshift light cycle.
Yeah.
Come to find out, when we watched the trailer and we paused it, we saw the Atari emblem, and we're like, "Holy shit, that's Akira's bike!"
Yeah.
This is phenomenal. So we're also trying to see where they're going to be able to get away with, but what are they going to put in its place if they can't get certain rights? That's also going to be something also pretty interesting.
Yeah.
It's going to be very hard for me not to watch the next trailer that will drop. You got to figure, this movie doesn't come out until 2018.
Yeah.
Which sucks. Fuck you, 2018. You get all the cool shit this year for something.
Yeah, we only got Valerian.
Well, we get Star Wars.
It's Star Wars.
I'm okay with Star
Wars. And other cool things.
Some other cool
things. Maybe 2017 is that bad.
2018, though? 2018? It's looking pretty good.
2018 could have an apocalypse as long as that movie comes out. It's still the best year ever.
That's how you go out. That's the high note we all go out on. We're all in the theater. We watch Ready Player One. World ends. We're good.
Oh, man.
Although I would be kind of pissed if I didn't get to see Chapter 9 of Episode 9 of Star Wars.
So, yeah, I mean, it looks really good. 2018. Yeah, it says it's coming out in 2018. I'm willing to bet it's going to be a summer release, but here's the thing. I'm really hoping for January.
January 2018. If they do release another trailer, say October,
yeah,
and they're like, yeah, we'll see you in January, I'll be floored. There's no fucking way.
It's the greatest month of my life.
Think if the very soonest March.
Yeah,
Maybe even May would be the earliest I think we would actually be able to see this movie.
Yeah, I don't see it. I don't see it coming out till summer. So
July.
It'll be like the movie. If other movie companies are smart, everything will move out of the way.
Get the fuck out of the way. Here comes Ready Player One.
It'll be like when Halo drops or when Call of Duty drops. Like everything just fucking move out of the way.
Let them have their time.
Let them have their time, and then you can come back in. So, it looks really cool. We really hope it's going to be good.
So, your biggest fear?
I think my biggest fear is not getting the characters down correctly.
That's legitimate. Yeah.
Really, that's what it's going to have to come down
because
to.
Because you got to figure, for every character, there's two actors.
Yeah, the actors are going to have to play the characters very well. And how they do the avatars is going to be interesting because I'm really curious if the avatars are just going to be CGI.
Ooh, I didn't.
Because I could totally see that being the case because the entire universe
is in a
CGI world in there and then they have the real world outside of it. So, but
I hope they don't go too CGI with it. That's my thing. I would rather see an actual actor play the avatar. If that's the case,
depends on how well the CGI is done. I mean, literally, it's true. If the CGI is of Avatar levels of CGI, then you'll be perfectly fine because you literally won't be able to tell the difference.
Right. My biggest fear is that they start trying to put in other pop references that are not in the book to fill in. I mean, I would love to see it, but based off
of licensing that they have,
it's just like really crazy getting licenses from other movies in your movie to pay respect to that.
Yeah,
and that's what this is about. Ready Player One is an homage to basically everything we loved when we were growing up. When I first started listening to it and everything, I was floored. Like, it is a love letter to everybody who's a geek. You know me. I'm a huge Ghostbusters fan. They reference Ghostbusters. They even put a line in from Ghostbusters. Back to the Future, Aliens, Star Wars. That's my life. So hearing that in a book and it's in this universe is phenomenal to me. Do I really think they're going to be able to nail it? I hope so.
Yeah,
I have hope. I'm scared shitless. It's like the
Superman of films. You have hope.
It's just,
but it could easily go to hell. So
it's basically, you know how I'm gonna put this? It's episode one. But what if it sucks? It's definitely a very daunting task. If Spielberg pulls this off, hands down, that's the new bar.
Mm-hmm.
And he like you said, he needs to retire immediately.
Just quit. You're done. Don't question it. Just. I'm never going to be able to top this.
You would never be able to make another movie. And
I'm not joking. You could make the greatest film ever in history after this, and I still will say, you should have retired.
I'm curious how many, because they do talk about Nintendo and all the other gaming systems. I'm curious if they're going to get those rights.
Oh, listeners, my God. Here's a bit of advice. If you don't have time to read, go on to, and we've recommended them several times, go to Audible. Absolutely. Go to audible.com. If you have a Amazon account already, just sign in with your Amazon account. You can take the free trial. It is a month currently.
Yeah, you sent me that today.
And you get a free book. Yeah.
Yeah.
This could be your book. and the upside is we recommend this being your book. Yeah, and one of the great parts about it, it is narrated by Will Wheaton.
Oh yeah, we forgot to put that. I'm curious if he's actually going to be in the movie now.
I would love to see him in the movie,
but as a narrator. Or something.
Yeah, I would love that for would him to narrate amazing. The very beginning.
Holy
of the
shit,
film.
I would be. Oh, yeah. that part alone, I'd be like, done.
Yeah.
Steven Spielberg just made the greatest movie of all time. And that's saying something, because I love Star Wars.
5 minutes in. Yeah. So we do recommend you go and download that. There's an Audible app. And you will have that book forever. Like, they don't take it away once your membership or once your subscription's over. They let you keep it, and it's permanently there digitally. So, yeah. Try it out.
give it a shot. It's but a great yes, book.
But yeah, before you go see the movie, and you got time, not like me, and I'm still getting shit for this. You have time. Go read it. Go listen to it first, and then you'll see where we're coming from. Because, like I said, when we say this is a daunting task, we are not kidding.
Yeah. Listeners, keep in mind, this is the first time I've actually gotten Loach to actually agree to listen to something without having to ask him over and over for years.
I've just been so busy trying to find a new job.
Well, the thing is I literally had finished the book, and I came over and I said, you've got to listen to this. And he goes, all right. Like, he gave me the usual, all right, whatever. You know, I'll give it a try when I have time. So I sat down, I turned on the book, and it was, you know, Will Wheaton.
We did the first chapter.
Yeah, and he goes, is that Will Wheaton? And I go, yes. And he goes, holy shit. And he starts listening to it. And within the first chapter, it references Ghostbusters. And Loach was like, fucking sold.
It was already like, better than the new Ghostbusters.
I gotta listen to this. I have to get through this.
So, yeah, I'm on chapter 20, 21, something like that. Yeah.
So after that trailer dropped, I was like, dude, you have got to hurry up and finish this because I want to listen to the book again.
Well, actually, I'll probably just sign up for that free Audible now, right, just so I can get it. But yeah, no, we are of everything that we saw, besides probably Stranger Things 2, season 2.
Yeah.
I think that was the biggest thing that came out of SDCC. Now, before the pod, while we were doing this, or before we started doing this, there's more trailers dropping still.
Yeah.
You gotta figure, we're in Colorado. California's an hour behind us, right? Yeah, they're an hour behind us. So I think they just probably... Oh, no, they've wrapped up for a couple hours now. They're still dropping trailers, though. There is a new Thor Ragnarok trailer. I know you won't see it. Mm-hmm. I'll watch it. But there's one more day. That's tomorrow.
Yeah.
Lord knows what else is going to be coming out of SDC.
Yeah, I think we've actually gone as long as an actual podcast, so this actually might just be a full episode.
That's fine.
So
we owe the guys a sorry, but this was just, there was so much happening today. But there was just so much happening today. We could not just like I literally came over and we were just star shooting shit.
Tell you what, listeners, here I'll wrap up last podcast for you really fast. It was a long podcast.
Sorry, Anderson. Sorry, Miles.
Yeah, it was a long podcast, but it's really hard to edit. Just this go around, we're still testing things out of trying to get Miles onto the podcast while he's in Oklahoma, and you know, trying to figure out how the recordings are all going to.
And hopefully, if we get this working right, we can get Jesse on here more. We can get Steve on here.
God, yeah.
So hopefully our...
Steve has to be... If we're still going...
We will be talking about this
with the podcast by the time Ready Player One comes out. Steve has to be on that podcast.
I'm pretty sure we will be. But, so yeah, we're trying to get the rest of the guys, the family,
yeah,
in on this still.
So the actual podcast that we're not going to be posting now... we talked about Destiny 2. Destiny 2 looks good. Plays like Destiny. There are a lot of people who are surprised that it's still Destiny. I don't know why.
The strike was actually pretty tough. It was fun.
Yeah, the strike's pretty tough. It was a lot tougher after they did the update than compared to when they launched it. Crucible, not feeling it. It's 4v4. They need to have two separate playlists. You need to have a playlist for tournament, which would be 4v4, and then you'd have a playlist for just the 6v6, because it feels awkward, and the scoring is really weird. There's a few other things. There are only two subclasses in the beta. We're hoping that they have the third one in the actual game. If they've gone back to two subclasses, way to fucking miss the boat, Bungie. What the fuck? We had three subclasses. We've had three subclasses for quite a while now.
And I don't think they're going
to drop down to two. That's really shitty.
I really don't think they're going
to mess up. I'm hoping not. I'm hoping maybe it's a part of the game where you have to go get another third subclass. That would be cool. Game still feels like it should allow four people for strikes. And we feel that way mostly because if you're going to move to 4v4 for Crucible, then yeah, it should be four-person strikes. Other thing was wanted to bring up was my dad had concerns about how the story was going to play out because you lose your light at the very beginning. One thing that I noticed, especially yesterday after playing the strike, was there is a secondary AI that comes up in the strike and is called Failsafe. My thought process on that is that there is a separate AI that has been storing light to release it in case of the off chance that the traveler dies, goes away, something happens to it.
It's a backup.
Yeah, it's a backup.
It's a failsafe.
So that's why it's called Failsafe.
Yeah.
so The other thing that I had brought up to him was the possibility of there. It is very possible the next game you will actually start out as a different Guardian to begin with, and that Guardian dies, and then your main Guardian from the first game shows up. Or there's also a possibility that your main Guardian plays through the first level and dies, and you have to start all over because that's the way the game's kind of written. I mean, it's designed. The whole second game is designed for everybody to start from nothing again because...
So kind of have that last farewell with your character.
Because and it's because they needed to start over in order to make everything work the way they need it to. We're seeing a lot of things like the skill trees, a lot of the armor mods and stuff. Things are working the way they had originally shown. The shader
customization now.
Things are working the way the original demo showed off at E3 when it very first was shown. Before they lost their creative director, before they lost their music director, before part of the company left because of the bad decisions that were being made because of Activision coming in and stomping their fucking feet like little kids. So we're seeing some good changes. A lot of people are still sitting there going, oh, it's still Destiny. Yeah, it's still Destiny. It's still going to play like Destiny. It has to. If you suddenly change the game mechanics, all the people from the first game would be like, fuck this, I'm out.
Right, absolutely.
So it still plays well. It's still fun. It's still good to screw around with. I'm sure we'll enjoy it while it lasts until a certain point where we just say, you know what, we'll come back every now and then to it, but we're going to move on to other stuff.
I'll have Madden.
Yeah, it's okay. And you know, Bungie, if you ever listen to this, it's okay to make a game that we don't stay with constantly all the time. That's not a mark of a bad game. That just means that, you know, we're gamers. We get tired of playing the same thing over again. We want to move on to something else. That's all right.
And most of the
Activision
time,
should be understandable about that.
And and it's not like we were not going to come back to it. We always did. We came back to the first Destiny. I can't even count how many times. Hell, we're probably going to go back to it actually after the beta.
Most of Destiny gamers are not Call of Duty players. No, you know. Some offense to Call of Duty players, but you guys play Call of Duty like it's the end of the world and it's the only game that's ever going to exist.
And you guys are a bunch of assholes, too, most of the time.
Most of them, yeah. But, you know, they play it like it's the only online experience they can have, whereas Destiny players were like, yeah, we've had our fun, we can move on to something else, and we'll come back. Every time something drops, we come back, because we want to experience what you have for us next. The one thing we are hoping, though, for is Destiny 2. We're really hoping that the story is as long as they say it is. Because, I mean, the original Destiny was actually written out to have everything that's been DLC so far.
And then have DLC.
That didn't happen. So you can understand why gamers kind of, you know, every time you guys dropped a new DLC campaign, we tore through it like it was nothing, and then asked,
like, starving children.
Then we asked, please, sir, can I have some more, like, fucking, you know, Oliver Twist, and you looked at us like, what? Like, holy crap.
It's like taking a water away and then giving it to us in the middle
of
the
desert. Yeah, I mean, you know, the story for Destiny, the first Destiny, didn't really get good until The Taken King. And that's when things started really going, wow, this is actually a really cool story.
Yeah.
So I can tell you, if the first Destiny had launched with everything all the way up to even just The Taken King, and The Rise of Iron was just a DLC add-on, I would have been completely satisfied, and I would have said, this is a great fucking game. But when your game is that short, it kind of made us, you know, rubbed us the wrong way. So we're hoping Destiny 2 lives up to what they're saying it's going to be. They're saying it's going to be big. It's going to be a lot bigger than the first one ever was. So, hope so. We really do hope so.
Yeah. What else came out? This past week, thanks to fucking San Diego, all of a sudden waiting until the weekend.
Yeah, Miles talked about Fortnite.
We're going to play that tonight because I'm downloading it now.
he got a closed beta. It's kind of weird how, like, he bought the Founders Pack. And the way they released it was a closed beta, like 2 weeks a week before the game actually comes out.
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny. That doesn't make it a beta anymore. But he basically got early access. In order for him to send the codes to us, because he bought the Big Founders Pack, which gives him the ability to pass it on, he had to complete a certain task in order to get those codes to unlock. But he's got those. He is enjoying it. He says the gameplay's fun. Seems like there is a lot to experience in the game. And we're looking forward to testing it out fully. Currently, they don't have a party system, which is kind of a bummer.
They don't?
No. I imagine that's probably going to be on the full release for next week.
Interesting.
Which is kind of odd.
I might just wait to play it then.
So yeah, I thought the same thing. I was like, you know, maybe I'll wait till next week.
I'm downloading it now though anyway. So.
But yeah, so he's enjoying it. We'll have a full review once we've had enough time to actually play it. I'm really pleased that Epic decided to release that for consoles, because we said from the very beginning that this should be a console game as well.
And it'd be something that we all want to play together.
Yeah.
So I think that's.
I think that... No, one last thing. Miles Anderson and I talked about the new Doctor Who. The 13th Doctor.
I'm actually curious about this.
The 13th Doctor is a female. Miles and I have talked about this for over a year now, and we're actually excited for it.
And you said the only reason
she's
that...
The only bummer was
that she wasn't a ginger.
Yeah, she's a great she's a great actress. She's been in plenty of stuff with the BBC, so she's proven that she's able to take on a plethora of characters. So, that one's for you, Steve. so she's able, like she's able to take on many, many different roles. So hopefully they allow her and they write her a good different kind of doctor from Capaldi, and they let her kind of make the character her own. The thing that kind of struck us was, I mean, it's understandable and it's not. I mean, there's going to be dicks in every kind of fan base, but there are a lot of fans that are really upset the fact that the Doctor's a female.
Yeah, I read one comment from Phil DeFranco. He read one comment. He's all, the Doctor is officially dead. I thought that was a bullshit.
Yeah, that is
why?
The dumbest.
Is it the woman?
That is the dumbest and most ignorant way to look at when they make a character like this into a female character.
She's going
to
be Here's so fucking why. It's popular. Not,
it's not
be unreal.
It's not like Thor being turned into a woman and by that taking a female character and just calling her Thor.
Yeah, Jane Foster at one point became Thor.
That was ludicrous for Marvel to do, because it made no sense. She could have been her own character. She could have been her own hero. She didn't have to be called Thor. She could have been called something else and just been part of the Thor comic books. But in this, you know, kind of like Beta Ray Bill. Beta Ray Bill's got the same abilities as Thor, but he's not called Thor, so... There you go.
Right.
Whereas in this, a Time Lord in the Doctor Who universe can literally be any sex, any race, at any moment when they regenerate. Because the way that their species carries on is when their old body dies, they regenerate into a new one. The new one can be old, young. That's the way it's always been. So having the Doctor become a female, completely acceptable. They even showed in the two seasons ago... with Capaldi, they showed a Time Lord die and immediately become a black female woman.
Right.
Like, all right, you know.
Nicholas was telling me about this.
It was funny, because the reaction from the Time Lord is like, oh man, I'm a woman, because she's wearing men's clothing immediately.
And it's also going to be a pain in the butt. And it's also, me and my son talked about this. Mm-hmm. I'm not into Doctor Who as much as you guys, but Phil DeFranco, who we watch, is actually a big fan. He's saying that also, it was kind of funny also, is that he's been regenerating as a man for so long that when he does become a female, it's going to be funnier, because he's not used to what a woman feels and what a woman is like, and how they are portrayed and how they are reacted to.
It's even more hysterical when you look back at Matt Smith. Matt Smith, when he became the Doctor, his first regeneration, he grabs his hair and it's long and he goes, I'm a girl! It's hysterical. Because the Doctor doesn't know what he looks like when he regenerates, you know. So becoming a female, this isn't like taking a long loved character like James Bond and making him a female.
Although Atomic Blonde looks pretty dope,
and they're Atomic Blonde looks badass,
and they're calling her like the next James Bond,
the new James Bond. Fucking yeah! All right, I'll do it.
I might have to go.
I am totally down to see Charlize Theron kick ass.
Yeah,
I love her. To have that kind of ignorance really kind of bums us out. We know that there are fans out there that are against it. We think that they're stupid for being mad about it. But the one thing that we were really surprised was why isn't she a ginger, and why isn't a ginger and female? Because that is a double hit, and it would be fucking hysterical.
Yeah.
Because the doctor constantly brings up the fact that he's never been ginger. He always checks to make sure, like grabs his hair and looks at it to make sure he's not ginger. So it would be fucking hysterical
if it was
both.
Yeah.
Just instantaneously in one shot. Redhead and a doc and a female doctor. I'd be like,
so really
like,
quick before
I would not be, I would we instantly buy that next season. So really, just to see that opener.
Really quick, I believe it's going to be more popular. I think my daughter is actually going to. She watches Doctor Who, but I think she's going to even be more into it now. With my sons.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Alexander's going to get really into it. I think it's going to have a huge fan base that's going to add on to the Doctor universe.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to the humor that's that they involve with it.
Yeah, the humor. I mean, we're going to see a ton. I can tell you right now. Yeah.
Going into
DCC SDCC and New York Comic Con, all the Comic Cons, you're going to be seeing female doctors that are actually going to be dressed as a female doctor.
Yeah.
All over the place now.
Yeah,
and
so,
it's gonna be really cool to see little girls be like that.
You know, I'm looking forward to the comedy in the TARDIS when the Doctor goes back to her wardrobe and sees nothing but men's clothes. It's gonna be funny as hell. I mean, every Doctor has had their own style, their own look, their own kind of attitude. So it's gonna be great. It's gonna be an awesome exploration into a new character.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, the Doctor's only supposed to have 13 generations. So is this gonna be the final Doctor? Are we still going to get a new Doctor after this? Are they going to continue? Are they going to reboot the series again? We don't know. It'll be interesting to see where they go with it.
So before we go on too long, which we already have.
Yeah.
Sorry, Miles. Sorry, Anderson. You guys weren't on this. There was just so much happening today that we just... It was stupid for us to just ignore it and wait. That being said, next week when we do our next podcast, yes, we will be rehashing a lot of this. Reason is, I want to kind of get everybody's opinion on it. The guys are definitely big fans of Ready Player One. We are definitely big fans of Stranger Things and all the stuff that was shown off at SDCC. Plus, there's going to be more coming out tomorrow, because tomorrow is the last day. And a lot of the times, San Diego Comic-Con, unlike a lot of the other cons, they do save a lot of stuff for the very last day.
Yeah. So I'm going to close this out. Listeners, thank you for listening to us. We really do appreciate it. Please go on Facebook, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, follow us on podbean.com if you don't like iTunes. If you do like iTunes, subscribe to us on iTunes. Please tell your friends about us, because it's pretty much the only way we get around. Make sure you like and subscribe. This is Vargo.
This is Loach. Keep on geeking on.
And we're out. Every word, each lie was more absurd, kept me so insecure, but now that's over. She taught me how to trust and to believe in us, and then she taught me how to cuss that bitch. It's over. You know I used to be such a nice boy. Submarine, she's driving me insane, but now that's over.